Welcome to our service for Sunday, the 20th of December 2020, here in Bedhampton Parish in Hampshire in England. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader here in Bedhampton, and I really hope you enjoyed that carol on the way in. We are so very grateful to St. Helens who have allowed us permission to use those carols, and there will be a few more of those as we go along today. So if you need to skip through because of time, that's fine, but try and enjoy those carols as we enter Advent 4, the last Sunday before Christmas Day itself. And it's good to be with you here this Sunday, good to worship wherever we are, but we worship as one body distributed across the country. So a few pieces of family news before we continue our worship this Sunday. Don't forget we have in Bedhampton around St. Thomas's on Bidbury Lane, we have right up until Christmas Eve and including Christmas Eve, the Christmas experience. Place yourself in the Nativity and walk through the around the outside of St. Thomas's. Walk through the experience of being there with Mary and Joseph. Lovely to hear some really good feedback on that, seeing photos of people on Facebook and the internet in general, really enjoying that. So do come along and experience that. The last time you'll be able to do that is Christmas Eve as we finish off that season. Also to say that on Christmas Eve at 11:30 p.m., sadly, we will not be able to meet for our usual midnight communion. Just because of numbers, normally we are packed to the rafters on that one. So we will be streaming live at 11:30, our Midnight Communion. You can tune in and enjoy that from the comfort of your own home, or indeed you can watch it Christmas morning as we go along there. And also, I don't know what's been going on with you, but there's been lots of questions I've been getting asked by people of in the time of troubles that we're in about where is God in this. And there is an ideal opportunity to explore that early in 2021 as we once again do our Alpha course, which is an informal course. We'll probably run it online, I would guess. We'll see nearer the time, but we can help you with that. Where we just gather and we ask the questions, who it is this babe in the manger? Because this babe in the manger didn't stay there. He grew to be Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and died for our sins and our mistakes. What does that mean in 2021? Maybe you've got questions, and even though you've been a Christian for years, you are most welcome to join us on Alpha. Maybe you know people who are exploring. Why don't you invite them along? And we will explore together, and no question cannot be asked. You can ask, all those questions I've had can be asked, and they don't have to be asked of you. They can be asked of me and Susie as we lead that Alpha course early in 2021. Get in touch with me to find out more about that. So before we begin our worship, finally, just a quick rundown of what's going on over the next few weeks. This Wednesday on the 23rd at 9:30, we have our communion at St. Thomas's. And then, of course, on Christmas Day itself, as I said, on Christmas Eve, we've got that streamed service. But on Christmas Day at 8 a.m. in St. Thomas's, we have a Christmas Day communion. And then at 10 a.m., again, in St. Thomas's, we have that all-age celebration of the fact that Jesus has arrived. So you can book into those on our website as usual. And then on Sunday the 27th at 10 a.m., we're going to have a shared communion service at St. Thomas's. So there won't be a 9 o'clock, there won't be a 11 o'clock, there'll be a 10 a.m. on Sunday the 27th, a shared communion service. As we will also have on Sunday the 3rd of January, a shared communion service, but this time at St. Nicholas's. So lots going on through the season. And then on Wednesday the 6th, at 9:30, we have our regular midweek communion, which again will be at St. Nicholas's, and we return to our normal pattern of worship on the 10th of January. That's a 9 a.m. at St. Nicholas's and 11 a.m. at St. Thomas's. Does that sound confusing to you? Don't worry, if it sounds confusing to you, just go to the website and you can be up to date on where the services are. Wow, lots of news, lots going on as we come towards the end of 2020 and enter 2021. But en route, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came for you and I, that he came as a weak baby in a manger, but he died as Jesus Christ on the cross for you and I, that we might have life and life to the full. Like I say, if you've got any questions about that, book in on the Alpha course. But this week, of course, we're in Advent 4. The fourth week of Advent, and we have here, we have our candles in our house here. We've lit three of the candles. If you remember, the first week was the patriarchs or hope. The second week was the prophets or peace. Last week we remember John the Baptist or joy. And this week we remember the mother of Jesus, the Virgin Mary, and love. So I'm gonna light our candle for us now. Hidden amongst our nativity scene in the cross household. And we get to light our last candle here today. So we light our last candle here today. And then on Christmas Day itself, we will be lighting the white candle, which of course is when we remember Jesus. But let's take a moment now as we've lit our candle to pray to our God. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so may we be ready to greet him when he comes, again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as we continue into our service, if you see some words come up on the screen, why don't you say them out loud where you are as we continue to welcome our God. We are the Lord's servants. May his word be fulfilled in us. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of the night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. And we're going to bless God now with our singing as we hear and sing another carol. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Glory to the newborn King. Glory to the King who's still the same today as he was then, as he will be tomorrow. And one of the ways that we glorify our God is by turning to him in our sins and our mistakes and saying, hey, Lord, we don't want these. We don't want these sins. This is not our intention. We repent of them. We turn away from them and turn to Jesus. And that's one of the ways that we can honor and glorify our God, because that's why he came for you and I, that we might know him. And to know him, we need to remove all the rubbish of this world from us. So we have our prayers here, which we're going to say together as we come before God. But before we do, let's take a moment just to reflect on our lives and come before him, knowing he's keen to forgive us. Just a moment of silence to reflect where we are. The Sun of Righteousness has dawned with healing in his wings. Let us come to the light of Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. God our Father, you sent your Son full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And so may the God of all healing and forgiveness draw you to himself and cleanse you from all your sins, that you may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, having been forgiven, we go out to sing joy to the world. To the world, the Lord has come. He most certainly has. And it's great to celebrate that with you today. And we're going to do that now by hearing scripture. This collection of books we call the Bible is really important to us here in Bedhampton. And we're going to hear God's word. Anne is going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Susie is going to read from Luke chapter 1. And then Polly, who worships more often than not at St. Nicholas's, will reflect on those verses for us. So here is our scripture.
The reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, beginning at the first verse. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the Ark of God remains in a tent. Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies before. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them any more, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have her child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
In the beginning of the book of Luke, the stories of the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus are intertwined. And both of these births are announced by an angel, in fact, by Angel Gabriel. First of all, we've got Angel Gabriel visiting Zechariah as he was officiating in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, Zechariah was clearly an important person. He was a priest chosen by lot to go to the temple of the Lord and burn incense while the worshippers were assembled and prayed outside. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, we hear he was startled and gripped with fear. And then we also see what Zechariah's response was. In verse 18, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." In other words, Angel Gabriel, you're having a laugh, aren't you? "How can my wife have a baby? Have you seen her? She's past it, and I'm not at my best either." And as a consequence of his unbelief and his questioning, Zechariah was struck dumb. until John the Baptist was born and was named. Mary, on the other hand, was a young girl from Nazareth, and the contrast couldn't have been more stark. Firstly, why would an angel speak to a girl, a young girl, and nobody important? And why somebody from Nazareth? Now, in 1 John verse 46, we hear Nathanael asking, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" It was a nothing town. Quite a contrast to Gabriel speaking to Zechariah in the temple in Jerusalem. And although we don't know exactly how old Mary was, it's likely she was a young girl, and we know she was betrothed to Joseph. Now, betrothal is a bit like our engagement, but it's more legally binding, and the only way to get out of a betrothal was to die or to be divorced. And when Gabriel visits Mary, he says to her, "You are highly favoured. Rejoice, you highly favoured one." In the original Greek, the words are kare ke kare tomine. Kare ke kare tomine. Kare ke kare tomine. Lovely to say aloud and to hear the alliteration in that. Mary was the highly favoured one. Mary was chosen. And you know, Mary was chosen not because she deserves favour, but she deserves favour because she's chosen. And what was Mary's response? Well, like Zechariah, she did question. "How can this be, because I'm a virgin?" But unlike Zechariah, her questioning didn't come from unbelief. And Gabriel explained to her, "Look, you're going to have a baby. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you." And Mary's response to that is, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." And Mary was also told that her relative, Elizabeth, was pregnant in her old age. I wonder how some of you have received some surprising news. And what's your response been? Have you scoffed and not believed? Or have you questioned but accepted? Your elderly relative, Elizabeth, is going to have a baby. Elizabeth was a barren, godly woman. And barrenness was thought to be the woman's fault, and it was extremely shameful. Pregnancy, on the other hand, removed that disgrace. And once Elizabeth became pregnant, the disgrace had gone. Mary, on the other hand, was an unmarried young girl. And when pregnancy should be a beautiful time, actually for her, it was shameful. It brought shame, it brought disgrace. And we know that Joseph decided he was going to quietly divorce her. But actually, Mary found favour with God. Through the shame and through the disgrace, she found favour. The pregnancy of a barren woman is a miracle. But the miracle of virgin birth is even greater. Surely this is a reflection of how Jesus would be even greater than John the Baptist. And we know in John 1:27, John the Baptist says, "He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Now, I don't know why God chose Mary to be the mother of his son. I don't know why he chose a young girl from Nazareth, a place of no renown. I don't know why he didn't make a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, an entry befitting the King of Kings. However, I do know that God revels in ordinariness. He revels in us being ordinary people, going about our ordinary lives and serving him in ordinary ways. This week, I've just been going about my ordinary business of running a school in the lead up to Christmas. And I had a really busy last couple of days, distributing food from the local food bank to families in the area most in need. And it's been a real privilege to deliver food and presents for parents to wrap up and give their children. It's been privilege and it's been moving to see parents crying tears of relief because they know that they can now feed their family and they've got presents to give their children on Christmas Day. This is ordinary work. But it's been advancing God's kingdom. And I just wonder, what ordinary work is God calling you to do right now? And I can tell you, God doesn't want any of you to say, I've got nothing to give, I've got nothing that I can do. Because that is not true. God has given us all gifts. We just need to take what we have and use it for him. In our reading today from 2 Samuel, Nathan the prophet tells David to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant, a temple to house the presence of God. 2 Samuel 7:16, your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And at that time, David took it literally to be a building and he built the temple. But actually, we know that that temple was brought down. But actually, with Jesus in the light of the New Testament, we've got the temple that will live forever. And Jesus prophesied about himself and said, this temple will be pulled down, but in 3 days it will rise again. Elizabeth conceived in her old age. For everything spoken by God is positive. Nothing is impossible for him. Verse 37 from Luke chapter 1. No word from God will ever fail. And Mary's response to these words from the angel, we hear in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. This Christmas, I pray that our response will be like that of Mary and not like that of Zechariah. May we have the faith and trust that Mary has. May we be willing for God's will to be fulfilled in our lives.
I love that. That is so wonderful, isn't it? Nothing is impossible with God. Thank you for that, Polly. And how is God going to break into your ordinary everyday? What is God calling you to do? Now, there is something to reflect on over the next few days and during the Christmas period. What is God calling you into in the ordinary in 2021? Actually, we're going to take some time now just to hear another carol, but maybe a quieter carol, as we reflect on Polly's words, what God was saying to her, or to us through her, I should say, and what God is calling you to. So here we listen to O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh,
What a great carol to reflect to. And we thank our brothers and sisters at St. Helens for the permission to use that. Do you know, Christians throughout the world have united under one umbrella, Jesus Christ. And we are united with St. Helens as they are united with us. And we are united with Christians and saints from the past as they are united with us. And one of the ways that we do that is to reflect on what we all believe, what St. Helens believe, what Christians from the past believe, what St. Faith and Haven't believe, what our friends down in the cathedral in Portsmouth believe. And we all believe the same thing. We believe the creed. It's wrapped up in that. And so we're going to say our creed now as we reflect that. The words will come up on the screen and you can say them where you are. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I love that. The Holy Catholic Church. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. That's not the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic there means all of us, the group of church, the people underneath the banner of Christ. That's what Catholic means there. And we believe those same words as others around us. And one of the other things we believe in, of course, is that God answers prayer. And so Fleur is now going to lead us in our prayers for this fourth week of Advent.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you were conceived and born as great, the Son of the Most High, to rule over us and our descendants forever. Thank you that your kingdom will never end. Help us to be obedient to your word as Mary was. Help us to give up our own sense of self and entitlement, but to volunteer ourselves as your servants, the Lord's servants. Father, at this time a lot of us are wondering what your plan may be. Help us to give up our own plans and our control and look to you for your word to be fulfilled. Father, we thank you for your rescue, how you saved us and continue to save us. Help us to recognize your saving grace by showing us the areas in our lives which you want us to remove, the sin that prevents us from coming into a closer relationship with you. Father, we pray for our local businesses who are affected adversely as we move into Tier 3. We pray for our schools that they may have an opportunity to rest whilst also being able to plan for January. We pray for all the Christmas preparations ongoing. We pray that the stress of the season diminishes and allows us to celebrate you in space and in peace. Father, we thank you for everyone behind the Christmas experience. We thank you for people who use their gifts for your blessing, and we pray that their preparation will be rewarded. Father, we think of the leaders of our church and we thank you for their service. We pray that you will give them a restful Christmas and they will be rejuvenated for the new year and for whatever message and whatever spirit you want them to fulfill. Lord, at times our prayers can seem like tiny drops in the ocean, but we are reminded that you are God with us, Emmanuel. Be with us today. Be in our lives, Jesus. Be in our church. Amen.
And we bring those prayers and no doubt the prayers that you've been praying both now and during the week together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to now hear our song, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Let's praise our God together. I do hope that you have not only enjoyed this service, but actually it has enabled you to worship. To worship the babe in the manger, the God made flesh. The Jesus that grew from the babe in the manger to be the man that hung on the cross for you and I. The God who came looking for you and I. And I pray that you have a fantastic Christmas with those and those you love, and with those that you aren't able to get to this year, I pray that you're able to use technology or the phone to speak with them and to share the love of God with them as well. And next year, as we move into 2021, my prayer for you is that you will become even more of a disciple of Jesus, that you will be able to ask those questions that you want to ask of him, that you'll be able to walk with him and us as we become apprentices and disciples in 2021. Don't forget the opportunity to ask those questions on the Alpha. Get in touch with me for those. Don't forget the opportunity to pray. You can pray, of course, where you are now. But you can also join us on a Wednesday morning to pray. Don't forget that opportunity to meet together in small groups. Any information that you want to know about any of that, just get in touch with me now. But let me, as we finish our time together today, let me pray this seasonal blessing over you. And so may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. And we finish our service today with, O come, all ye faithful. Have an awesome time.